and the land is dark.
From the studios of the 24-hour talk radio capital of West Louisiana and East Texas, all information, all talk, KWLA. This is Open Line. Live on KWLA Anacoco, KWLV Manny, KVCL Winfield, KBDV Leesville, KTHP Hemphill, KZBL Natchitoches, and worldwide at KWLA1031.com or on the KWLA mobile app.
The views on this program do not reflect the views of any of the stations in this broadcast or any of the advertisers. The views are expressly those of the people expressing those views.
If you choose to comment on the program, guest, or contents of the program, email kwla at bdcradio.com. Now, live from the KWLA studios, Ted Dumas. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's program.
And good morning. I want to remind you, a great movie going on right now, Captain America, Brave New World, Paddington in Peru. Go to KittyAnnaCinema.com, click on the Parkway Cinema in Natchitoches, get the show dates and times and everything you need to know. On March the 15th, St. Patrick's Day 5K run, brought to you by Sabine Medical Center. They're going to have 9 and under, 10 to 19, 20 to 49, 50 plus, $500 prize for each first place. You enter free. Talk to Sabine Medical Center for more details. We start off this morning's program on a sad note. A close friend of mine, Sabine County Sheriff in East Texas, Tom Maddox, passed away. Funeral services were yesterday. He was sheriff in Sabine County for over 30 years. Also did a radio program on our East Texas station. A great loss to the community. Our guest this morning is the Attorney General of the great state of Louisiana, Liz Murrell. Liz, good morning to you.
Good morning, Ted. Good to be with you.
You know, I don't know why in the world I waste my time reading the Advocate. It's kind of like my wife watching The View. I ask her, why do you do it? So I see this article in the Advocate that I think is critical, suggesting that Governor Landry has put his stamp on the state's high court. Is it the job of the governor to try to get the agenda he's wanting?
Sure it is. But, you know, and I'll tell you, I think it's also a great service to try and find good people who want to run to be on the Louisiana Supreme Court. I know that Justice Guidry and now Justice Cole, who is about to be sworn in March, are both great new additions to the Louisiana Supreme Court. So, you know, I think that Governor Landry and I certainly would want to encourage good people to be on the court. It's a very important job.
Well, I met Judge Cole a couple of times, and I don't think you could have got a better choice of someone to interpret the law than Judge Cole. I just see where that. I want to ask you if your agency is involved in it. Recent audit shows Jefferson Parish school system has got some real irregularities. Attorney General looking at this, or is that strictly a district attorney situation?
I think, are you talking about the impact school charter audit?
Yes, uh-huh.
Yes, so the audit was conducted by the legislative auditor. That audit prompted one of the subjects of the audit to file a lawsuit against my office, which was not involved in the audit. The audit did raised some significant questions about how money was being spent through two foundations or nonprofits, I believe, that are operated in connection with that charter school. And so I know that, you know, it certainly has gotten my interest, and it's also gotten the interest of the district attorney here in Baton Rouge and the U.S. attorney.
So let me take that a step further. In this case, it looks like there certainly will be some criminal investigation, but quite often you read about state boards, commissions that just misuse money, and sometimes it's willful, sometimes it's not. How does a state, or better yet, taxpayers, ever get their money back, or is that just not possible?
Well, it just depends. You know, I mean, sometimes it's difficult to get money back if the money has been spent. And there's nowhere to get the money back from. I mean, sometimes the best you can do is hold that person accountable if their actions were criminal. Get a civil judgment or a judgment even from a criminal court for restitution, and then try to get the money, you know, returned. It's not always easy to do that, but what we do need to do is hold people accountable if they are violating the law and violating the public trust.
So, and if that's the case, is it sometimes wise just to replace that board, that commission that's misused public funds, or we just say, hey, it's okay, don't do it again?
No, I think that is also very, very important, and that is a remedy that I have available to me under the charities, the laws that govern charities and nonprofits. I can seek to replace the board, and that helps to make sure that if the board is managing funds, then even if they're not public funds, if they're misusing private funds through a foundation, I have the ability to go in and seek to replace that board to ensure that that money is spent and managed properly.
Okay, the biggest problem that President Trump is having right now is that every time he does something, someone takes it to a very liberal judge and gets it stopped. How do we solve this? Is this going to just eventually end up Supreme Court, or is there another remedy?
Yeah, I do think it ends up at the Supreme Court and the courts of appeal, and this is not unexpected. We knew. I mean, I think it was predictable. They did it the first time that he was president, and they were waiting as soon as he was sworn in to try and block everything that he's trying to do. I think where a lot of these, you know, liberal individuals and organizations are missing the mark is that this election was a major mandate from the people to carry out the policies that President Trump is now carrying out. And so I think that what they're doing is extremely unpopular, but the courts are going to have to sort out the power of the president to do the different things that he's doing. I mean, for example, this lawsuit over whether people could go in and look at what how money is being spent and determine whether or not, and just give information to the administration about the different ways that money is being spent. Like, that's absolutely within the power of the executive branch under the supervision of the president and his appointees. But we're probably going to have a court say that because they filed a lawsuit and a judge blocked it temporarily.
Okay.
And I think that was a judge who actually removed the block after a few days.
Okay, but we're not talking about just one lawsuit. We're talking about multiple lawsuits on multiple issues. Can the Supreme Court, or does the Supreme Court, hear each case, or can they just give a blanket case where they say, the president has these powers, move on?
Well, I mean, I think it's a complicated question. I think they can issue, you probably have to do this lawsuit by lawsuit, and even if the court did come out and talk kind of broadly about what the president's powers are, you could I don't think you could ever have such a broad ruling that would cover every single thing and that would also stop someone from filing the lawsuit to say, well, I know they said that about this thing, but we're talking about another thing. You know, I mean, that's the nature of litigation. It's always distinguishing one situation from another situation and asking the court to rule on the situation that you say is different or that they say is different. So I think it would be very hard to stop it globally. And I think this is what, you know, part of what they call lawfare. They go to the courts and they try and block the president. He's got time to work through some of this. And I do think that one of the things that the courts could do and the Supreme Court could do is speed it up. You know, they can stay these rulings. They can block them at the United States Supreme Court, and that litigation usually moves very quickly.
So is this something you think we'll see for the entire 4 years, or will it weed itself out in the first year or so?
Well, I certainly think we will see a lot of it in the first year, and I think that some of the rulings that come out of that could expedite some of the litigation in the future or limit it in the future. But, yeah, I'd expect it to be continuous.
We have pretty strong anti-abortion laws in Louisiana. a New York doctor violated those laws. Louisiana is trying to bring that doctor to justice in Louisiana. What's your thoughts on that as far as getting that accomplished?
Well, she's blocked our extradition papers, and so we're looking at other remedies and that we may need to, you know, pursue to be able to enforce the law and carry, you know, bring this woman to justice. I would like to point out that the governor of New York has been completely wrong in defending this as some kind of attack on reproductive rights or reproductive freedom. What this was a coerced abortion where a woman obtained these pills without, and a doctor gave them to the woman without talking to the person who they were actually intended for, which was a 16 or 17-year-old girl, and the mother forced the girl to take the pills. So, you know, there was never a consultation, a doctor-patient relationship here. This doctor just sent pills through the mail, which is a crime in our state, to our state to facilitate an abortion with someone she never saw, she never met, and she knew nothing about.
So will this action with the state of Louisiana, your office in particular, slow down other doctors in other states from violating Louisiana laws such as this?
Well, I certainly hope so. You know, I mean, you can see the consequences. This was a wanted child, and that will never have a chance at life. I think that, you know, the reason that we have strict restrictive laws on these pills is because of another situation where it involved a husband who was crumbling them up and putting them in his wife's food to try and induce her to have an abortion. It is dangerous. And, you know, these irresponsible doctors who, you know, just believe they don't like our laws, and so they believe that they can break them with impunity, they need to know that they can't. And I think that, you know, this is the law of our state, and they need to respect the law of our state, and we're going to enforce it.
Our guest this morning is the Honorable Attorney General of the state of Louisiana, Liz Merle. We'll be back in a moment. Located across from Sabine Retirement Rehab is Broadline Services. What do they provide? They provide pretty well anything you need in your house. Want to replace the flooring, ceramic tile, porcelain, wood, carpet? They can do it all. If it goes in a house, they have it. Countertops available, all sizes, selections. Open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. until 4 p.m. Call Tim or Juanita at 318-652-1215. Or you can go to broadlines.org.
Hi there, I'm Chris James, a student at Northwestern State University. Transferring to NSU last year was one of the best decisions I ever made. I'm majoring in Communication, Arts, and New Media, and the hands-on experience here is amazing. From covering live events with ESPN Plus to working on NSU TV News, the student newspaper, yearbook, and even our on-campus radio station. This place has it all. Want to know more? Head over to nsu.la/explore and start your journey today.
Hey guys, this is Jordan from Nichols. Have you heard that our Manny and Leesville locations now carry your favorite high-end jewelry line, Kendra Scott? That's right, Nichols is now a Kendra Scott retailer. Come check out our great selection of jewelry at Nichols and Manny and Leesville. Can't wait to see you.
Broadline Services, located across from Sabine Retirement and Rehab in Manny, has everything you need. If it goes in a house, they have it. From flooring to countertops, open Monday through Friday. From small jobs to large jobs, they can help bring your dreams to life. Go see Tim or Juanita for all your flooring needs, including ceramic tile, porcelain, carpet, or wood floors. They also custom build showers, and remodels are available. No matter what the need, Broadline Services is here to help. 318-652-1215. They're also an authorized Speed Queen dealer.
At Quality Wood Furniture, you'll find solid American-made wood pieces. Choose from many timeless and functional styles of dining, bedrooms, office, and outdoor furniture in a variety of unfinished and finished options. Quality Wood Furniture has something for every room and a friendly, knowledgeable staff that's ready to assist you. With an on-site finisher and a custom builder available, we'll help you get the perfect look for your new furniture. You'll enjoy the strength and durability of real solid wood furniture for years to come. Visit our showroom today. Quality Wood Furniture in Leesville.
Hello, my name is Dr. LeBlanc from LeBlanc Eye Center in Leesville, Louisiana, across the street from Bird Hospital. Are you tired of choosing which lens is clear, one or two? Are you tired of being rushed into deciding if you're sure or not? Have you experienced this before? At LeBlanc Eye Center, there is no stress, no frustration, just accuracy. Now we have instruments from NASA that will give you a prescription almost perfect before we even ask you any questions. No more 102. Please come see me at LeBlanc Eye Center for a very pleasurable experience at the eye doctor. Please call 337-239-2321.
And welcome back. Don't forget, Nichols has everything for everybody in the family. They've been doing this for over 100 years. They've got stores in Winfield, Leesville, Coushatta, and Manny. Whether it's sporting items or clothing items or decorating items, they can take care of you. Thursday, it is going to be U.S. Senator Dr. Bill Cassidy. On Wednesday, it is going to be State Representative Jack McFarland. Today, it is the Attorney General of the state of Louisiana, Liz Murrell. And you filed legal action in federal court against sanctuary policies in New Orleans. What's the objective here?
Well, the objective is to dissolve a consent agreement that was put into place in 2013 under the prior sheriff and has been in place ever since that limits the ability of the sheriff to cooperate with ICE. And, you know, surprisingly, it also imposes obligations on sheriff's office employees to make sure that an inmate has legal counsel before they would permit ICE agents to even interview that person. And all of this violates state and federal law, and so I'm seeking to dissolve that agreement and kind of get the federal courts out of the Orleans Parish prison as it relates to ICE.
Are there a large number of illegals in the state of Louisiana?
You know, I mean, I think, I don't really know what the number is. New Orleans has certainly kind of advertised itself as a hospitable environment for illegal aliens. We have seen cases in all over the state, in North Louisiana, in South Louisiana, even, you know, there was a car accident that killed some young people down in Lafourche, I believe. I mean, we've had a lot of problems all over the state, and New Orleans itself has kind of declared itself to be, I'm not going to say it's a sanctuary city, because I really don't think New Orleans has a global sanctuary city policy. I've never seen the city council actually adopt one. They certainly make comments of that nature, but I've never seen a policy. The prison does have a policy, and it needs to go away.
On February the 10th, Attorney General Liz Murrell made the following statement. In Louisiana, we have the death penalty. We intend to use it. How long has it been since we've had the death penalty take place in Louisiana?
I believe the last execution was in 2010 with a person who basically waived all of his appeals. And there had not been one for a pretty long time before that. So it's been a long time. We've had a hard time getting the drugs that were necessary. John Bell Edwards was not interested in carrying out the penalty. And so basically for the 8 years that he was in office, he not only did nothing, but eventually, announced that he was against it. This governor and I both ran on a platform that we would make sure that these families were able to get the justice that was promised to them under the law. And so we have moved forward to ensure that that could happen.
I have difficulty understanding why the drugs to execute someone so difficult. Anybody that's had any kind of procedure at the hospital, I mean, they come in, they say you're going to be out in a couple of minutes, and 3 seconds later, you're out. It looks to me like it'd be so easy to put someone out, execute them. Why is it so difficult?
I mean, I think there are a number of ways that you can do that, but every one of them generates litigation. And so there's some that have been used in the past. Pentobarbital is one. Midazolam is another. There's a three-drug protocol that involves, I think, pentobarbital. Those things get litigated all the way up to the United States Supreme Court. Both the protocol itself and the actual drug that are used. And, you know, that's all basically been approved through litigation in the Supreme Court. But when you bring something new into the picture, it raises kind of the specter of new litigation over whether that's appropriate or not. The nitrogen hypoxia method, which is the method that the state is implementing now, is being used in Alabama, and it's been litigated recently in Alabama, and that's, you know, that's one of the reasons why we feel like we're going to be able to move forward now, because Alabama has litigated these issues already.
Okay, got to go to break. Before I do that, you would agree that when someone's sentenced to death, it's a long process. There's lots of appeals. If there's any additional evidence, I mean, the chances of someone being innocent on death row is getting pretty slim. Agree or disagree?
Agree. They have an enormously large number of appellate review of their cases. It does take a long time. In fact, in Louisiana, it takes way too long. And one of the things that I'm looking at is how we can move the appeal process forward faster, because I think a lot of these people have taken advantage of some gaps in the law. They've exploited those gaps in order to just drag it out for a really long time. And, you know, the families deserve justice. They shouldn't have to wait 30 years to see the penalty carried out in some of these cases. They always involve heinous crimes.
We're going to take a break. Our guest this morning is the Attorney General of the state of Louisiana. Be back in a moment. The Office of Counseling and Career Services at Northwestern State University will host its annual Spring Career Fair on Tuesday, February the 25th at 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. in the Freedman Student Union Ballroom, Northwestern State University.
AGS Auto Glass Specialists, located at 2017 South 5th Street, want to remind you to bring in chipped, cracked, or shattered windshields to them so they can bring it back to clarity with fast, friendly service. Call 337-238-1821. AGS Auto Glass Specialists offer windshields, mirrors, furniture tops, power windows, front window shields, mobile services, plexiglass, and Lexan repair. That's AGS Auto Glass Specialists, your hometown automotive glass specialist with over 50 years experience.
Looking for new flooring? Head to Jay's Carpet One Floor and Home in DeRidder. We are part of the largest floor covering buying group in North America. You'll always get a good deal at Jay's. We are locally owned and dedicated to our community. Our flooring experts can help you select from thousands of styles, and we also offer window treatments. Come see us at Jay's Carpet One Floor and Home in DeRidder, 1515 North Pine Street, 337-463-7464.
We invite you to come down to Natchitoches Wood Preserving off of Highway 1 South. We've been in business for 50 years, and we've been providing Natchitoches and surrounding areas with trailer boards up to 24 feet, poles and timbers up to 40 feet, and vinyl seawalls as well as composite decking. All of our lumber is treated for water use, and every visit you make, you'll deal with the direct owners of the company. We appreciate you, and we love the city of Natchitoches.
Hello, Senator Bill Cassidy here. If you're having problems with the VA, I want to help you. Maybe a disability claim, you're having trouble getting someone from the VA on the phone to schedule an appointment. My office will make sure that the VA gets on your case. Veterans answered the call to service, they finished their service, and they deserve the best we can provide. If you ever need help, call 225-929-7711, 225-929-7711, or go online and see cassidy.senate.gov. In D.C., I'm standing up for veterans and service members by raising military pay, supporting Gold Star spouses, making sure the VA works for you. Here at home, my staff and I help those veterans who experience those problems. Again, call 225-929-7711 or cassidy.senate.gov. It's my privilege to serve you.
Hey, welcome back. If it's time to get that eye exam, it's time to contact my friends at Louisiana Eye and Laser Center. From routine eye exams to the most complicated surgeries, they do it all. Winfield, Leesville, Natchitoches, Alexandria, 15 locations. Call 318-487-2020 or go to laionlaser.com. Our guest this morning is the Attorney General of the State of Louisiana, Liz Merle. Liz, I see where that the president, ex-president, thank goodness, Joe Biden gave pardons to pretty well everybody except me, and one of those went to Dr. Anthony Fauci. And here's my question. It's a federal pardon, but if you found in Louisiana that he had violated the laws, could you prosecute him?
Yes. So I think that a federal pardon does not affect the federal.
I'm sorry. I had the wrong button pushed. Answer that one more time.
I said yes. A pardon under by the president only pardons a person for violations of federal law, not state law. So if they violated state laws, then I could prosecute that. Now, there's, you know, statutes of limitations and other things that can come into play. So it depends on what the crime is. But there are at least two of those pardons that I'm looking at prosecuting under state law that involved murder. One was a case out of Catahoula that was a death penalty case under federal law, and that was commuted. It involved the murder of a little girl and her mother. And then another one is a person who was who murdered some people in New Orleans who was a dirty cop. And I'm looking at prosecuting both of those cases.
You met with Pam Bondi, the new Attorney General. How much is she going to change the landscape of the nation in reference to law enforcement?
Look, I think there's a lot she's got to do to kind of get respect back in the Department of Justice for the rule of law. And she's been doing that from the very, very moment that she stepped into the office. She is a good friend. I've known her since she was Attorney General of Florida, and I am very excited that she was appointed to be Attorney General because I have a lot of faith in her.
Personal question. I read in The Advocate, here's that name again, The Advocate said at the Super Bowl, when President Trump came in, many fans cheered, many fans booed. You were in the same box with the president. What was your take on the crowd whenever he came in?
Well, I didn't hear any boos. I heard an enormous roar go up when the cameras focused on him during the national anthem. So, you know, there might have been some, but I certainly didn't hear them from where I was sitting.
That had to be a really special experience to get to watch a football game with the president.
It was great. You know, it was really fantastic having him there to kind of just, you know, put a cherry on top of everything that had gone on to prepare for it, to recognize the victims of the terror attack and have the president there during that. The opening ceremonies involved Lauren Daigle singing, and that was fantastic. John Baptiste did the actual anthem. He did a great job. You know, it was just, I think, an enormous success for not just the city, but the state, to be able to show that when we all, you know, put our minds to it, we can actually change things in New Orleans. And, you know, I think we need to figure out how to make sure those changes remain in place and that they're long term, because it is an important tourist city and it's important to the whole state.
I thought New Orleans looked the best I'd seen it in a long time. Our guest this morning, the Attorney General, Liz Merle. Liz, thanks so much for sharing your time. Most of all, thanks for the great job you do for Louisiana.
Thank you, and thanks for having me. Have a great week.
When are you coming back to Louisiana? I miss you. I pray.